first speaker today, we'll just jump right into this. I want to introduce to you, and no offense to anybody, but this is my favorite person in the church today. This is my wife, Jill Donaldson. 33 years this year, and thank the Lord for that as well, and I'll let you share. Take off. There you go.
Good morning, and happy Mother's Day to all you mothers and grandparents out there, grandmothers. As you know my husband, of course. I want to introduce my son, Isaac. He's my oldest son. He's sitting over here on the front row, and his beautiful wife, Anna Lee. And our youngest son, Makobe, is working in a church in Oklahoma City as the youth pastor there. And so they are serving the Lord, him and his wife, Caitlin. And they are blessing Jeff and I with a granddaughter July 31st. So we're super excited. And we have nieces and nephews out in the audience. And so I'm super proud and happy of our family. And, of course, you all know my sister-in-law, Barbara, Jeff's big sister. and so we are super blessed with family. So when Jeff asked me to speak this morning, I started thinking about, you know, our family and my journey as a mother and what motherhood meant to me. And I began to think of memories that I have with my kids growing up. And one of my favorite memories, which I hope I didn't embarrass my son, but one of my favorite memories is when Isaac and Makobe were 4 and 6 years old, and they loved the cartoon movie Robin Hood. And I wish I could play a clip for you because I know it by heart, but even today I know it by heart. they just loved that movie. And so they used anything they could find to sword fight with. And of course, if you have boys, you know that just somehow comes naturally to them. I don't know how it is ingrained in them, but their favorite swords were the wrapping paper swords. And so anytime we had wrapping paper that I left out, it was no longer on the roll when I went back into the room. And one day they came in and they were sword fighting and they shouted, "Save the queen, save the queen." And of course I was very dramatic in accepting the role of queen. But, you know, a few moments later, I'm running for my life because I'm getting whacked with the swords that were supposed to be protecting me. And so, you know, life is like that. You have the love and the joy, but there's also the whacks of hardship and sorrow in our lives. And that comes with being a parent or a mentor to anybody. And so, as I was studying about what God wanted me to talk to you about, one of my favorite books in the Bible is 2 Timothy. And in 2 Timothy 1, 5 through 6, Paul says to Timothy, his son in the Lord, "I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I am sure that it is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." And so I love that verse because it shows a heritage that Timothy became one of Paul's greatest champions for spreading the gospel. And even Timothy went on to do great things for God. And that if you study history, it's also not in the Bible, but it's also in other places. So Timothy was a mighty man of God, and I truly believe with all my heart that it is because of a mother and a grandmother that raised him up to love God, and Paul recognizes that even. And when I read that last verse, Paul says, "I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is within you through the laying on of my hands." And I thought, why did he put that last part in? It's a little weird, you know? I'm like, you know, what's the significance of this? Because I'm always telling the children over there in children's church, everything in the Bible has a significance, and it's our job to find out how it relates to us, how we can learn from it, and what God was trying to say when he inspired the men to write this. So I asked God about that, and I believe that it's a significant gesture of godly love that he's talking about. Because if you think about Paul, before he became saved, he was Saul. And he used his hands to destroy Christians and their families, killed them in all kinds of horrible things. And I believe that when God saved him, he turned that evil work of his hands into a miraculous ministry of healing and love. And so I feel like that it was significant for Paul to say, and he said it in several places in his books about the laying on of hands. And I really feel like that's maybe for him and Timothy, it was he hugged Timothy when Timothy was down and prayed for him, or he held his hand and prayed for him when he was going through a hard time. So I feel like that's as moms and dads and grandparents and aunts and uncles, whatever you are in the life of a child, that it's a significant thing for you to show godly love to them through an action of love. When Paul uses Timothy's grandmother and mother, it was their lifestyle to show Timothy by example how to sincerely have faith and love in God. And Paul reminded Timothy to tend to his own spirit. And so I think that Lois and Eunice were like the model woman that is described in Proverbs 31, who works hard for her family. In verse 15, she rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household. Verse 26, she opens her mouth in wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. In verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. I believe those physical actions are actions of a great mother and homemaker. But I also believe that Lois and Eunice not only conquered those physical demands of everyday life, but also, perhaps even more importantly, the spiritual demands of everyday living. Because God desires our sincere faith, and they knew that. All the unmade beds, the mysterious odors that lead to dirty socks thrown under a pile of bedroom debris, done it. The rescued animals, their dirty dishes stacked between the wall and the bed, which was found months later. The trail of trash marking every place a child has been in the home. The bathroom messes, those things that are struggles for us as moms, you know, and you want to yell at your kid to, can you not just throw that in the trash? It's like 3 feet away from you. All those things, the physical things, won't really matter when the people that are entrusted to us stand before God in their spirit bodies, because God is only going to care about, did you love me with all your heart, soul, and mind? Did you love your neighbor as yourself? That's in Matthew 22, 37 through 39. That's the only thing God really wants out of our kids, to love him with all their hearts, souls, and minds. And so the everyday living, a physical living, all that stuff is going to be meaningless. And I encourage you to keep your spiritual mind active when you're going through the hard times of just living every single day, you know. It's called spiritual kindling. And that's what Paul called it, a spiritual kindling. And it's hard work. We have to rely on God's power and love and discipline of a sound mind to guard the treasures entrusted to us. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 7 and 14, he says, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and discipline. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in you the treasure which has been entrusted to you." The people of our homes are the spiritual treasures entrusted to us. We have to guide them through the Holy Spirit in our working in our lives into sincere faith for God. How do we take action to guide our households? Well, we have to know the Holy Spirit. We need to let the Holy Spirit work in our homes. We need to practice letting him react to situations rather than our own human nature. If you know me, or if you know my kids, and they can tell you that I'm kind of a bossy person in general. I am a cleric type of person. And that serves me well in the job that I have. But sometimes at home, it's like, chill out, Mom. You know, I've heard that several times, you know. Or from Jeff, you know, because y'all know his free spirit. And so I have to like, really think about letting, how would the Holy Spirit like to react to this situation that I'm in right now? And so I encourage you to practice what the Holy Spirit would want you to do, and put your nature second. How do you practice? In Galatians, we have to know the Spirit, the nature of the Spirit, which is in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. There's many other examples in the Bible, but this is the main one that most people recognize. We know the Holy Spirit because he is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Ooh, that last one is hard for me. So the Holy Spirit in your homes, when you're going through your daily lives, with your spouses, with your children, with your extended families, at your jobs, how does the Holy Spirit react to fear? Fear of any kind. He reacts with peace and faith and trust God implicitly in all situations. He overcomes strife with self-control, kindness, and patience. He overcomes depression and sorrow with godly joy. He overcomes wrongs done to you with goodness, which then can release forgiveness. When you're acting in goodness, you're acting out forgiveness, and then your heart will turn towards forgiveness in that person. You overcome pride and the love of money with gentleness. And that last one, I was thinking, well, what do you mean by that, God? Like, how is gentleness gonna, like, overcome pride? So I looked up the word gentleness in Galatians 5:23, and it's a Greek word, original Greek word, which means, I'm assuming this is how you pronounce it, everybody, I'm not a Greek person, prautes, P-R-A-U-T-E-S. And that means to submit one's strength in a posture of meekness toward God, or humbling ourselves and our plans before God. When you humble yourself before God and say, God, this is really what I want to do. I really want to do this to this person, or I don't want to do anything with this person. What would you like for me to do? That is the gentleness of spirit that you're humbling yourself before God with. And so I thought that was very interesting, because a lot of times you're in mom mode, or you're in dad mode, or you're in business mode, and you're just going because you're good at what you do. And sometimes we need to stop and say, oh, wait a minute. God, is this what you want me to do? Is this how you want me to carry out this business deal, or this discipline to my children, or this new something that we're going to start at home, a new Bible study at home perhaps, something like that. Just keep God in your thoughts and minds on the routine things of life. Basically, that's living and walking in the Spirit. So whether you're a mother or father, an aunt and uncle, or a mentor to the young, the Bible does teach us to be examples to those younger in the church. We should all strive to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And remember, the treasures that God talked about is our people, the people in our lives. Jesus taught in Matthew 6, 20 and 21, not to store up physical treasures for yourselves, but spiritual treasures. He said, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there's your heart as well. So let's think about our own selves and the role that we have. Is your heart kindled toward God? Does your everyday life express sincere faith in God? I looked up the word kindle, and it means to slow and steadily ignite a fire that won't go out. So Paul is referring to the sincere faith of Lois and Eunice and how they lived their everyday lives and taught and kindled Timothy, slow and steady while he was growing up, to have sincere faith in God. Think of the men and women of the Bible that are examples for us. David, for instance, who at the age of 12 trusted God so implicitly that he was able to kill bears and lions while he was sitting in the field with his sheep, singing and playing on his harp and praising God. Daniel, who was so grounded in God's love that when he was torn away from his family as a young teenager, was willing to die rather than to dishonor God by partaking in the worldly pleasures of the Babylonians. Think about Esther, who as a young teenager was forced into the concubine system of a foreign king. That is horrifying to me. But because of her obedience and reverence for God, she saved her nation from genocide. Such a powerful story of that sincere faith in God. We can probably think of many other people in the Bible, but for David, Daniel, and Esther, in their cases, think about who might have kindled their spirits when they were really young. The world tried to kindle their spirit away from God and to the worldly things, and it's okay to do this, Daniel. Go ahead and partake of it. Those type of things are happening to our kids and teenagers every single day. And who is kindling their fire toward God? Who is kindling their hearts toward God? Because the world is big and horrible sometimes. And we need to be champions for God for these children and teenagers in our lives, no matter what capacity they are to you, whether you're a mother or not. Perhaps these people had grandparents or mentors that taught them how to faithfully trust in God no matter what, the horrible things that they had to go through. Today, God has encouraged me, and I hope as well he has encouraged you, to purposefully add kindling of love and joy and peace and the other things that you find in the Spirit of God towards my husband and my kids and my extended family, the people I work with, the people I come in contact with. Because in doing so, I have the peace of God that no matter what I physically see happening in my children's lives, or that who are my treasures, or even when I see the wrapping paper swords whacking me with heartache and sorrow from my treasures or the people in my lives, I know that there are sparks of God's love deep within them that can be kindled toward him because I invested my time and energy into kindling their spirits toward God. And I need to extend that to my extended family and to everybody that I come in contact with. And I encourage you all to do the same. So let's pray. And then I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor Jeff. God, I just thank you for reminding us of how important our role is in everyday life, Lord. As mothers, as grandmothers, and even as fathers and aunts and uncles and mentors to young people. And Father, even to each other, help us to operate in your spirit, Lord. Help us to practice until it's no longer second nature to us, but it's the nature, which is the nature of the Holy Spirit. Help us to walk in your spirit, Lord. Show us ways in our lives that we can walk in love, walk in kindness, walk in gentleness, walk in goodness. Help us to be warriors for you, Lord, in regards to kindling the spirits of the children and teenagers in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. All right. Jill, thank you very much. Jill has also been our children's pastor, just on an interim basis, a volunteer basis, while we are in search of a children's pastor. So thank you very much for pouring out your time in that as well. And some more good news along those lines. Next Sunday, I will introduce you to Bethel Church Choctaw's new children's pastor. Yes, it's a focus of ours now for sure, so that we're super excited about that. Our next speaker, Lindsay Haas, volunteers her time to the women's ministry, to the youth ministry, to the children's ministry. She has three young boys at home. That includes her husband. young at heart, bro. And so would you please welcome Lindsay Haas.
Thank you. Good morning, Bethel Choctaw. What a beautiful group we have here. Wow, Pastor Jeff, you have such an amazing view every Sunday morning. For those of you that may not know, I'm Lindsay Haas. He just introduced me. My husband back there is Bill. He is sitting next to my mother, Delisa, and my stepdad, Dennis Anderson. We have two boys. Kel is 7, and he's back there, and Carson is 2 in the nursery. Funny story, Pastor Jeff taught our Sunday school class, and we had been coming here for like over a year at that point. And one day after band practice, he came in there and said something about his sister. And I was like, oh, your heavenly sister? He's like, no, my sister. I thought, oh, like your sister in Christ? He's like, no, my biological sister, Barbara. And guys, like mind blown. I had no idea that they were related. So that's why I introduced my family. I always like to put names to faces and see whom belongs to whom. I know we're all brothers and sisters in Christ, but becoming a mother, it was not easy for me. Bill and I married in 2006, and we wanted to wait a little while before we started having children, start a family. In 2008, we got pregnant. We were super excited about that, but the pregnancy was not vital, and we ended up miscarrying. We were both sad and just crushed. It was our first loss as a couple. We both desired children, and we kept trying for more. After a couple of years, we decided to seek a fertility doctor, and through that, I found out I have polycystic ovarian syndrome. Without horrifying the men out there, it's just harder for me to get pregnant. So throughout that process, in 2011, on my 30th birthday, I found out we were pregnant again. And we were so excited. We didn't delay. We told the family like as soon as possible. And we were just over the top with excitement. Just 10 days after that joyful news, my father passed away suddenly. I'm a daddy's girl, and my dad was my best friend. I know children are gifts. Having trouble conceiving taught me that. But I know Kel was my gift from God when I needed him the most. I had to get up every day to function. I had to eat and care for myself. My dad would not have wanted that any other way but to show up every day. Kel was born in October of 2011, and we were getting ready to head down to Dallas for the OU Texas game. We do not miss OU Texas, but that year we headed to the hospital instead. And the nurses made sure to hold him up so he could see his first kickoff. And we are those crazy football fans. There is almost a 5-year gap between Kel and Carson, and that was not a planned gap. Carson was a beautiful surprise. I remember Bill yelling, "We got a redhead." We were just so excited to continue our life with these precious little boys. Bill and I both desired to raise our children in church. However, we were failing at that. We didn't go anywhere. We couldn't agree on the churches that we did visit. Bill was raised in church, and I was not. I went as a youth, but had lost my way. In 2017, I wrote "Find a Church Home" on my vision board. Any of you guys out there do vision boards? Yeah, okay, I see a couple back there. All right, thank you. My mom and Dennis came here to Bethel, and they had been going here for a long time. Carson and Kel attend LCA, so I thought this would be like an easy church to come to. Bill's job at the time was very demanding, so it's kind of hit or miss if he could come. And looking back on it now, I was under spiritual warfare for months. Every morning at 1 a.m., I would wake up with headache and nausea, and I'd be throwing up, or maybe that Sunday the boys would wake up sick. It just seemed like it was always something. And then I kind of felt like I didn't click, like I just didn't belong. But the boys loved it here. And again, like knowing now, it was just a way for the enemy to keep me from showing up and keep my family from showing up to church. I remember talking to Bill about my feelings, and he said, "We need to be in Sunday school. You develop your relationships in Sunday school." And I thought, oh Lord, I can barely get to church service on time. How in the world am I going to get up an hour earlier, you know? But shortly after we had that talk, Pastor Jeff started a Sunday school class. Bill and I enjoyed it so much. We developed some amazing relationships and learned so much. There's two other couples in there. Also during that time, Mike Noakes was the youth pastor. And one Sunday, Mike came up to Bill and I and asked us if we would be middle school Sunday school teachers. And I was like, Lord, I am comfortable in my class. I don't think so. But Bill really felt the Lord calling us to that. And we went home and did prayer, and we ended up telling Mike that we would do it. And still to this day, we teach youth Sunday school. And let me tell you what, I love those youth like they're my own. They challenge me. We have to be in the Word for our lesson planning. I get to hear about their weekly highs and weekly lows. I get to hear about how God is working in their lives. I learn about the latest games on the latest gaming systems, thanks to Garrett. I get to learn about high school life and how so much different it was whenever I was in school. My youth kids out there, thank you for challenging me. And don't forget to get in the Word this week. Almost a year ago, the 20s, 30s, and 40s started a group called The Bridge. And if you haven't checked them out, you should. We eat together, and then we have small group. We have shared praise, and we have shared our struggles. I have been around some amazing prayer warriors in this group and people of faith, building so many wonderful relationships. I look back on this and think it all started by going to Sunday school. And as I was preparing for today, I kept thinking, like, I don't see how any of this has to do with being a mother. I was driving to work today and talking to God, and I was like, God, what does this have to do with Mother's Day? And he said, everything. Everything? Like, yes. Everything. When I have heard the phrase, it takes a village, I have often thought of it applying just to children. But I am learning that it applies to me too. And Bethel is my village. I am so thankful for Miss Connie and the volunteers that work in the nursery. Carson loves his Miss Connie. Cale has flourished in his Bible knowledge here at LCA, in the Royal Rangers, and in Kids Campus. They are both developing strong relationships in Christ. Being in Sunday school, church services, working with the youth, and the Bridge has helped me in my walk with Christ. I would encourage those of you that are not plugged in to get connected. I know Miss Shirley needs greeters. Miss Connie and Miss Jill need volunteers for our children's church. Our youth need encouragement. Our seniors have a wonderful group that gets together. Pastor Keith has a men's group. We have many Sunday school options. Judy and the PhD team meets here every Monday night for prayer, healing, and deliverance. The Bridge meets on Sundays at 6 p.m. We, again, have supper together, and then we break for small groups. Pastor Temple has a practical school and ministry that meets here every Sunday night at 5 p.m. Like I said before, I felt like I didn't belong or out of place, but you know what? It's not about me. I had to put myself out there and get connected because my children loved and felt comfortable here at Bethel. I just encourage you and your family to get connected. Amazing things are happening here at Bethel. The Lord is working in so many ways. And just think, like, if you get involved, how your walk with Him will change, how your children's walk will change, and how our church would just flourish. Proverbs 27:17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." I have developed a great relationship with an amazing Christian woman who has taught me to eat the word. She asked me to read John 15:5. "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. I am wretched without Christ. I am not a good mom without him. My village helps me be a better mom."
A real quick encouragement before we dismiss this morning in Acts 1. Start with verse 13. Acts 1 and 13. "When they had entered the city, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, that is Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, Judas, the son of Zane. These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." Mary, the mother of Jesus, in the upper room. And it leads me to believe that she was there in the upper room the very next chapter. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. She was part of the 120 in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. And then the church began to grow. Peter says this sermon, 3,000 people, there's miracles, the church is growing. And then it begins to talk later on in chapter 2 how they were teaming up together, they were feeding people, they were selling their stuff to be beneficial for each other. And then there was a movement. The very team of people that literally jump-started and kicked off the church as we know it today, the New Testament church, was this team of people working together to spread the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ. And I see Mary in that mix. And a part of me sees Mary and I think, you know, I think a lot of people would, in that situation, they would say, haven't I sacrificed enough? Haven't I done enough? I've gone through all of this stuff. They took my son for no legitimate reason, and they tortured him brutally, killed him for no good reason. And she's still in the mix of the team of leaders that jumpstarts the Christian church as we know it today. There was no quit in Mary. There was no stopping her because she knew that she had a purpose from God. And here's my encouragement to you. I know that sadly sometimes mom had some more time here on earth to serve, but maybe her purpose was over. But regardless, sometimes that's sad. But the thing that I want to encourage with you, and this is what I tell the residents at Timberwood Assisted Living Center, if you're breathing, God has purpose for your life. As long as you're alive and as long as you're breathing, God has instilled in you a purpose and a power and a reason to continue on to impact lives. And I want to encourage it is a never stop because the spirit that God has put in you has never stopped and will never stop. One of a good example of this, and I want to mention her name, is a lady that is very inspirational to me and the staff. Yvonne Brown is right over here. I appreciate you. She is like Mary. There's just no stopping her. She homeschools part-time one of her grandkids, and she's 88. She is impacting lives still, and I appreciate that. You're a great example, and I appreciate that. Here's a scripture I want to leave with you. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, your inner man is being renewed day by day. Your inner man, your spirit is being renewed day by day, and there is a great purpose that God has for you as long as we're breathing. Amen? Who's with me on that? Who's going to join me? Guys and moms alike. If you would, stand with me, please. God, it is an honor to be in your service, and it is an honor to be in the company of such great women, godly women and mothers, and I thank you for that so very much. Help us all to have a wonderful Mother's Day. Just bless the moms that are here today with such peace and love and joy that passes all understanding. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here today. Take with you the ability to impact lives everywhere you go. You are dismissed.